Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
So today we're starting a brand new series, and you've maybe seen it online. I've gotten a lot of questions about, like, well, what does it mean? Where you've seen online where it just says blah, 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 tagline, tagline, tagline. And really, let me just kind of sum it up for you like this. You can go ahead and write this down because this will be an anchor for you, not only this morning, but in a couple weeks to come here. I think it's going to be important that we dial into this. But what we want to talk about is how do we build a life of deeper connections? How do we build a life of deeper connections? All of us want to have meaning. All of us want to have purpose. We wrestle with our meaning and purpose. We wrestle with our calling and our identity. You know, there's a lot of kind of buzzy things that you can talk about in life, especially in church as well, where you're like, you know, everybody wants to know their calling. What has God called me to do? Where is he calling me to go? And we get wrapped up in that world, which is there's nothing innately wrong with, but I think inside of that, we can lose and miss out on some of the deeper connection that God is calling us to. And I think that just like kind of the title of this series over that we're kind of entering into here, is that a lot of things just kind of become redundant in our mind. And it's kind of like Charlie Brown, you know, where the teacher's talking and it's just like, you know, the noise and there's no actual intelligible words that are coming from the teacher's mouth. Let's be honest, you don't have to admit this and raise your hand or say amen too loud right here, but it's often what happens on Sunday mornings, right? You come to church, you listen, and then you like you go home and you're like, okay, cool, I did it. You know what I mean? Like there's not really, it can be easy for there to be a shallowness that I come here with that I also leave with. You know what I mean? And it's not because you're a bad person or you hate God. It's just because often we don't really engage in the way that Christ is calling us to actually develop, foster, and build meaningful connections. So how do you and I get to the point in our walk and journey with God? How do we get to the point in our walk and journey with others, in relationships, with ourselves? Like, how do we get to the place that my life, my spirituality, my hunger for God goes beyond shallow places and into deep areas and into deep wells of the Holy Spirit? You ever been in like a kid's pool before? You know, they have those little plastic pools that they sell at Walmart, you know what I mean? That just are not that big and not that great. And if you've ever gotten in one as an adult, you immediately feel like you need to work out more than you currently work out. You know what I mean? You sit in the pool. Like, it's like you ever gotten in a pool or like in a tub before and the water rises more than you want it to rise? You're like, I don't like that. Like, I didn't put a boat in here. It's just me. Like, why? Why are you doing that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird, right? But when the water's shallow, you don't float. Like, you never get in one of those blue pools and you're just floating. It's because the ratio's off, right? There's too much of you. You're like, I know, okay, it's 2021. I started CrossFit. You know, like, I get it. Too much of you, not enough water, right? And because of that, you're still having to support yourself completely, right? Like, you're still the one who's carrying the weight. But the deeper the water gets, the more it begins to support you. You can begin to transition from sinking to floating. And it actually requires, like, the best way for you to float, and I'm not a swim instructor, but take my word for it, requires, like, minimal movement and effort, where you're just floating. And a lot of times in our life and in our journey with the Lord, we're in the water. The problem is we're still in a kiddie pool. Like, there's some water there. We can feel it splashing on our legs. It's great. But the ratio's off. It's a whole lot of me and not enough of the Lord. And so I then, just like you, can begin to get discouraged because all of a sudden I see the water, I'm somewhat surrounded by the water, but this power that I hear the water has, I'm not seeing in my life. Like I hear it does all these things, and I hear it float, and I hear, remember like when you were a kid and you like lifted something underwater and you're like, oh, I'm so strong. Like, but it's because the water reduces the weight, right? It's because the water is doing some of the lifting. It's playing its part. And I believe that God is trying to lead us into the place where a lot of us have kind of been in the kiddie pool of our Christianity, where we're like in the water, but we're not in enough water that it's actually lifting us. We're not in enough water where we are seeing and experiencing the power of a deep, meaningful connection. We just have enough of him that we kind of know about him, and we hope it's enough that we don't go to hell. Can I get an amen? Some of you are like, I don't know. Was that an amen spot? Like, I don't know. Is this a trick? But that's kind of where we want to go. So you understand, like, you see that picture there in your mind today? That's kind of what we're talking about here. Is how do I go from just kind of like the blah, 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 like tagline. It's another series. Okay, I don't even believe in series. Like, you know, Jesus preached, you know, verse by verse. No, he didn't. He told stories. Read your Bible. You're like, well, I haven't gotten there yet. It's because you're doing verse by verse. I'm kidding. You know what I mean? But that's a joke. You know, but I think that a lot of times what we lose in that is we have the knowledge of God, but no power thereof, right? Like we're experiencing some of him, but it's not enough of him that it's lifting me and empowering me and supporting me and leading me. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, big thing when we lived in Texas, people go like float the river, right? And it's kind of the same thing here at Blackwater. You know, if you want to get bit by a copperhead, you know, you go get you a tube, throw you an igloo cooler in the water and get bit by a snake out there on Blackwater River. But you know, it's kind of that thing that when you're floating, you just go where the current goes, right? You're just following where the river is moving. And it's the same way in our lives is that really the journey that God has called us to lead on is not us like fighting and struggling to get there, but it's about having a deep, meaningful connection with the Lord where he begins to lift my life and begins to carry me as we are in relationship together in the way and direction that he's leading and moving, right? Okay, if you've got your Bibles, go with me first to the book of 1 John. 1 John is where I want to look really quick. 1 John chapter 4. Because I think when we talk about how do I build a life of deeper connection, and we have to begin with this thought of like, how do I build a deeper connection with God? Let's start there today. Let's tackle that one question. How do I build a life of deep connection with God? What does that look like for me? How do I get beyond the noise of just like, okay, it's another Sunday or another series or another Monday at work or another, you know, practice I have to go to with my kids or another, you know, discussion me and my spouse are having or another, how do I get beyond that to where it becomes meaningful and deep? I think it begins with a foundational understanding. That's found in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 8. It says this, it says, the one who does not love does not know God because God is love. Read it to you again. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. There's a foundational statement that we've heard before and we believe we comprehend it in our minds, but I'm just going to lob it out there to you today. I believe we don't comprehend it or understand it in the way that really it's presented in the scripture. You have to understand today that God is love. Initially, when we hear that, we're like, yeah, I know he loves me. Okay, it's not that he just extends love or gives love or loves you emotionally or relationally, but it's the very essence of God is love. Everything he is love. He moves from a place of love. He lives from a place of love. He speaks from a place of love. Everything is rooted in love. And so it begins to help us understand that if I'm going to have a deep and meaningful connection with the Lord, then I'm going to have to begin to embody the essence of God. The essence of God is his love. And that's why it says right here is that if one, the one who does not love does not know God. Because he's saying there cannot be anger, frustration, division in my heart towards people, but yet still say that I know God. You might have heard of him. You might be able to recite some things about him, but you don't know the essence. It's not just talking the perimeter of him. It's not just talking stories of him. So when it says you don't know God, you're like, well, that scripture's already wrong. I know him. Like, he went to the cross, died for my sin. I can even quote John 3:16. Well, praise God, okay? But if we understood the essence of who he was, then it would change how we act and interact with the world and people around us, right? Like, I can't know God but hate my neighbor. If I hate my neighbor, scripture's saying then you don't know God. No, but I do know him. Like, no, but you don't know him. No, but I do though. You know of him, but you don't fully see him. Because love for him is not an option. For us, love is often an action. You know, stores have already pivoted. Everything is Valentine's Day in the stores right now. Love is not just, you know, a chocolate heart or some flowers or, you know, a rose made of Twizzlers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty close to love. But, you know, it's not, love is not just the action, it's the essence. And the essence comes from the foundational makeup of who that individual is. Can we just say this today? That as we begin to build and we begin to seek after deep, meaningful connections with God, we have to begin to understand that love has to be at the center of that for you and I. One of the easiest and quickest ways that you can begin to identify and add depth to your walk with the Lord is begin to look at every person and everything that you do not love and begin to ask the question, why? Why do you not love them? It can be people that you know or don't know. Doesn't matter. Why do you not love them? Why do you harbor that feeling the way that you do? Because when we begin to ask those questions, we then begin to get past the place of shallow belief into a place of deep connection. You and I have both wrestled, struggled, and gone round and around with these feelings of like, why is my spiritual life not as powerful as I read in scripture? The reason for it is because we know him, we have a knowledge, but we have not allowed that knowledge to transfer into action. He says, look, you might say that you know me, but if you know me, if you have the knowledge of me, then you will have the action of me. Because if you know me, then you will do the action, you'll perform the action of loving others around you. Okay. So we're understanding that foundational statement that God is love. This statement is more than just his character or a description, but it describes his very essence. And God is love. The reason we understand this is that God is love because God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I know this is a little clinical right now, but it's important that you understand. Because we use the word God in quick exchange with what we refer to him as God, as Jesus, as Abba, as Yahweh, as Hashem, as, you know, Daddy God. Don't do that one. Don't do that. That's fine. You do whatever you want. But you know what I mean? Like, we refer them all like interchangeable. And there's nothing in essence wrong with that. But when you say, and when scripture is referring to here, and when it's saying that if we don't love others, then we don't know God, what it's saying there is we don't understand the essence of God being the three parts of God, because God is love. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. So he's the authority of the Father that confirms our identity, right? He's the love of the Son who gave and sacrificed his life so that others might be saved. He's the power of the Holy Spirit that has faith that overcomes fear and can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ask or imagine, right? So when we say God, we're beginning to have to look at, we have to understand the three-part arm, because when we understand these three parts, then I can begin to look more clearly at what God is saying. Because some of you might understand your identity and you might understand God as the Father, but you might be struggling with the need to sacrifice like Jesus the Son did. So you might understand a part of God, but not all of God. And not understand... Understand, let me pause that real quick, just for a quick, you know, theological side note. We'll never be able to understand all of God's ways, okay? We do not possess the capability in our human finite mind to understand all of his ways. But like any deep relationship, the more time we spend with him, the more time that we get to know him. And so as we grow in that deep connection, getting to know him, then we can begin to do that better. Some of us are really great at loving people like Jesus, but we don't know who we are in our own identity. And some of us, beyond that, and I think this is probably a greater majority of Christians, is you might kind of know who you are and you might believe in loving the world, but you don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Like, we love God in his authority as the Father who loves me and calls me a son or daughter in whom he is well pleased. We love that Jesus was both fully man and fully God, and he lived a spotless life, died on our behalf so that the most notorious of sinners could be saved. Like, we love that. But then we get to the Holy Spirit, and we begin to talk about the supernatural, and we immediately back away. And we... The problem is that we can never have deep, meaningful connection with God if we're not pursuing God as a whole, which is God the Father in my identity, God the Son in sacrifice and love for humanity, and God the Holy Spirit in his supernatural power extended through me in my life. It doesn't just matter, like, God wants more for you than just to understand your, like, your calling and to love others. But he also wants you to understand the power that he's given you to do those things. And some of you might have grown up in a denomination where the Holy Spirit was just something you like referenced, but like, you know, he was just like the helper. Like, they love to harp on the fact that he was, you know, the intercessor on our behalf. You know what I mean? But they don't want to talk about the gifts or the power or the fruits or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There is giftings and there are fruits of the Holy Spirit. They both deal with the mind and the soul of an individual, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit is not limited, but does include the ability to speak in tongues, right? Some of you are like, I don't know, does it? Are we saying that? We believe that? Yeah, we do. You know, here's a real quick reason why. It's a real short, simple answer, because it's in the Bible. it's really great. It's really easy to have sound theology when we say, what scripture says, I'm going to take and apply it to my life, right? And so when you see this, but it's not only that. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people are like, what does that mean? Like, am I going to, like, you know, go out and buy a shofar this afternoon? Like what happens? You know what I mean? Do I get a flag that's embroidered? Like, you know what I mean? No, what it means is the Bible talks about there's many gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's many gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's the gift of wisdom. There's the gift of prophecy. There's the gift of discernment. There's the gift of healing. And there's the gift of tongues. And it goes on down where there's about 8 different gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed that can be empowered through you. And so it'd be really sad for me just to know my calling and that he wants me to love people, but not to embrace the power supernaturally that he's given me to do those things. Maybe the reason that you're having a hard time pursuing and fulfilling that call is because you're concerned and you haven't asked the Lord to reveal the Holy Spirit to you. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Just in case you don't know, you're new around here, that's fine. I'll explain it to you. Maybe you've been here a while. We believe in the fullness and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in every gift that the Holy Spirit says has been made available to us in the Word. We do not believe that you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. But we do believe that it was a gift given to the believer for you to intercede and to commune with the Lord. The Bible says, when you know what to pray, pray in your understanding. That means if you know you've been an idiot, go before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been an idiot again. It's me. I've been an idiot. No, all right. But I don't know about you, but I've been in times of my life where I didn't know the words to say. I'm like, I don't even know what to pray. You ever found yourself in that spot spiritually? I don't know what to say. What do I say? Bible says when you know what to pray, pray in your understanding. When you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. Talks about how they prayed with groanings and utterances before the Lord, which you begin to let your Spirit speak. I think sometimes we think it's that we become, you know, spiritually, you know, it's like a, like Christian possessed, where all of a sudden, like, we pray for the Lord to like fill us with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden we lose control of our body, and, you know, some crazy, you know, sound starts coming from us. No, because the Bible doesn't ever indicate that God forces himself on you ever. But he waits for you to invite him in. And then once the invitation has been extended, he waits then for you to respond. And I think for a lot of people in here, I would just go on record to say, I think the majority of believers lack depth in their relationship with the Lord because they have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. They don't have any relationship with Him because it weirds them out. Don't let it weird you out. He's not going to like start handling snakes. You know what I mean? You're not going to get into like, you know, fire dancing or something like that. You know, it's not weird. There's a lot of people who make it weird. They like to make it a spectacle. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is reverent. He's excellent in all that He does, and He would never do anything that leads people away from Him. I'm filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues when I don't know what to pray. And you understand that it's the relationship and the communication between you and the Lord. I don't get up here and just go off in tongues for 10 minutes and then be like, bless God, and then just walk off the stage. The Bible makes it clear that there would then need to be interpretation of that. And then we lose sight of what it's really for. It's not like a spiritual, like, karate kick to a moment where I'm like, say something good, and I'm like, oh, you know, Shay Taylor Bese or whatever you say. We used to joke. That's the way we communicate about it. There's no repetitive phrase or book of words or sentences that you say fast. But it's in those private times when you don't know what to pray. And you say, Lord, I just need You. I say all that to say God wants to have a deep and meaningful connection with you. And God is love. And from that love is the fullness of Him. And I would just be really sad. Because I know that there's some people today, and you know, this is kind of off my notes a little bit, but there's some people today that you're gonna struggle with that statement right there, what we just talked about, and you're gonna have a hard time hearing anything else. Because it's so deeply ingrained, because maybe the way that you grew up, the denominations that you were a part of, like I was a part of a denomination that didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I get it. But it's one thing to like, do I follow denominational doctrine or do I look at scripture and say, Lord, if You said it's mine, I want it. If You said I could have it, God, I want to have it. I believe You're not weird. I believe You're not crazy. I believe You're not going to, you know, whatever. But I do want to have a deep and meaningful connection with You. And if I'm going to have a deep and meaningful connection with You, and my life's not going to be more than just blah, 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 spiritual things I hear all the time, but it's actually going to have substance, then I've got to have all of You. You know what I mean? That'd be like wanting to be married only for the ways that it benefits you, but not for the moments that it's difficult or the things you don't understand. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, I understand this. We can have this conversation. But anything you don't understand, you're just like, we're not talking about that. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, that would be ridiculous. There would be no depth there at all. Okay, go with me to the book of Genesis. You with me? You hanging in there? Okay, good. Some of you are still hung up on the Holy Spirit. It's okay. It's all right, seriously, it is okay. Because I think sometimes we feel a pressure there, and there is no pressure there. There is no pressure there to perform with the Holy Spirit, but you'll be so surprised that if you were inviting Him into your life and you would submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, how He would empower you in ways that you've been waiting for a very, 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 very long time. And, can I say this? And the problem with there being a lack of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life is that, like we said, there's a lot of things I don't possess the wisdom to even know the prayer. Like I said, I don't even possess the wisdom to know the prayer that even needs to be prayed. And have you ever prayed for God to do something that wasn't actually the thing that He needed to do? Like you prayed like, Lord, I need this to be the solution. He's like, that's not the solution. Like, Lord, change my boss's heart. He's like, it's not him, it's you. And see, when we begin to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and we begin to spend time with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, then He begins to reveal these things to us and we begin to see more clearly. All right, I will now move on. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Right, we said it because God is love, because the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all love. Look at the essence of who God is. He's an others-oriented, self-giving being. For all of eternity, He has existed in a community of perfect love as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I'm gonna say it to you again. For all of eternity, God has existed in perfect community as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says that a three-strand cord is not easily broken. Is that you and I were created and designed for deep, meaningful connection. In the same way that God operates in connection as these three parts in one, he's calling us to operate in that same measure of connection with him. Who he is, who God is, reveals this meaningful connection to us, and who he has called us to be is the exact same way. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." A lot of us will say, when we refer or we recite back to Genesis chapter 1, we'll say we were made in the image of God, or we were made in his image. Scripture doesn't actually say that. Scripture says that we should make man in our image, meaning that your design was for deep, personal, intimate connection. That in the same way that God operates in unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he designed you to operate in their identity, in the identity of the Father, in the identity of the Son, and in the identity of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important that you, that's why we say all the things we say, that you can't have deep, meaningful connection with God if you only understand the authority of the Father. Because your image was created in more than that. You can't understand fully who you are if you just understand we just need to love people more like Jesus loved them. Yes, but do you understand the authority that God has called you to walk in? Do you understand the holiness of the Father? Do you understand the power of the Holy Spirit? He says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Meaning that you were created. Your design represents the power of the Holy Spirit. It represents the love and the sacrifice, the human nature and quality with the divine love of Jesus. It represents the identity and the authority of the Father. That's what your likeness represents. So if my connection with God is anything less than that, then it's shallow at best. It says they will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock of the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created them in the image of God, and he created them both male and female. And what you see there in those last few verses where it says God created man, really the word here that is used is the same word that you could use for human. It's not like gender specific where it says he created man, like he created me as a man in his image, but you know, Pastor Bethany was created in my image as a man. No, it's the fullness. When he says man there, he's referring to the entire human experience, the spectrum of his creation that is the human being, both you and I, so that he created us, both male and female, in his, in their image, right? So inside of all of us, we possess that reflection. Look down with me, if you will, in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 8 of Genesis says, the Lord planted them in the garden in Eden in the east, and he placed the man who he had formed. And the Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look down with me in verse 15. It says, the Lord God took man and placed him in the garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it. That's important that you understand this here. It says, the Lord God took the man and he placed him in the garden to work it and to watch over it. It's that same thought as like some translations say, to cultivate it and to keep it. Is that God has given you authority to function and operate on his behalf. He placed man in the garden. His design, like you understand, like he created man in their image, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he created man from the image in which he created them. He then placed man in relationship with him where there was a deep connection that man and woman could operate, lead, and live kind of in proxy of the Lord. Where it says in a later scripture, we'll see in a second, where the Lord told Adam, he says, whatever you name the animals will be their name. He wasn't out there like, Lord, is it okay if I call it a squirrel? I don't know. I just came up with that word in my head. I said squirrel. And I don't know if it's a bad word. I don't know if I shouldn't be saying squirrel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, And some of us are out here throwing out 10,000 fleeces and 10,000 questions and asking God 12 million times what I should do or what I shouldn't do. And it's because there is no deep, meaningful connection there that helps me understand and know he's already empowered me to rule, not just with him, but on his behalf. He didn't say, hey, we're going to co-decide on the names of the animals. But he said, because there is a deep and meaningful connection, whatever you call them, we're calling them. That's why the scripture says, you know, whatever you bind on earth will be bound, and whatever you bound in heaven will also be. It's like, it's that same thought that like, what I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Meaning that like, whatever I take authority, I have the power to take authority in the natural, and it will also take authority in the spiritual. That even though I'm finite, I'm human, I'm not divine, God has empowered me through my design and the connection he desires to have with me. He's empowered me to rule on his behalf. But the only way that can happen in purity and humility is with a deep and meaningful connection, to work it and watch over it, to work it and to watch over it. And can I say this? I've got a couple things we're gonna put on the screen for you as you write these down. Number one is this, is that your design is only fulfilled with meaningful connections. Your design is only fulfilled with meaningful connections. You will only be fulfilled by having, number one, a deep and meaningful connection with God and deep and meaningful connections with others. You need, I'm gonna say it to you again with ears that will listen. You need deep and meaningful relationships in your life. You were designed for it. Your body, your soul, your spirit needs it. You need deep and meaningful connections. The problem is that we've gotten burned in the past. We still feel the effect of being burnt, and we don't step back out again. A couple months ago, I was laying some paver brick in the backyard, and I was digging some stuff up, and I had gloves on, and I reached down into the ground to grab this thing by this light post, and I grabbed a hold of the wire that was down under the ground. I get shocked quite a bit. I don't turn off the breakers unless it's like an appliance, just because I just, you know, hey, sometimes you just got to risk it. And so, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's not that bad. You know, it's, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, my face lock up a little bit, you know, slur my speech or something, but it's okay. I'll be all right. I'll bounce back. I get shocked probably about once a month, no joke. And I know it seems crazy, but you're like, maybe it now makes sense. And so Bethany was outside. She was talking to me. I was talking to her, and I was digging down through this ground, and I stuck my hand down there to grab it, and I grabbed a hold of this wire, and it hurt so bad. Like, it's the worst I've ever gotten shocked in my entire, and I screamed, and she was like, you know, she was scared, and I was trying not to be scared, you know what I mean? And since I got shocked, I have, like, lost feeling in my middle two fingers on this hand. What a jerk. It's cool. She's paralyzed over here. But and it was like a couple weeks after that, and it's like, man, I kept telling her, I was like, man, the middle two fingers on this hand, they keep hurting. And I was like, they just tingle and feel weird and like, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I think it's when I was laying that brick, you know, I was gripping that, whatever. And she was like, that's not it. And I was like, well, what was it then? She's like, it's because you shocked yourself. And I was like, you know, go with me on this. What if it's because I shocked myself? Like, yeah, that was it. And that's been now however long, a couple months, weeks, whatever it's been. And they still tingle. They still don't have full feeling back in them because of something unexpected that happened. And I think a lot of times we experience unexpected things in our life, and we can still feel the effects and results of them. And it causes us to shy away from that thing and try to use something else, right? Like, oh, I tried that route and I got burned. I ain't going that way. I'll learn my lesson. Okay, cool. But like, what if we didn't learn though? What if the lesson God was trying to teach us was love? And that sometimes love is painful. And that sometimes love involves being rejected. God so loved the world that he sent his son. But the Bible says that even though God loved and died for everyone, there will be those who reject him. His love doesn't cease because of the rejection, but yet we stop because of the rejection. When maybe God is calling us because of, but it only can come from a deep and meaningful connection to continue on in spite of maybe even the pain that we've experienced. I can't just not use this hand because of the lack of feeling. And there's some things I believe that you and I have given up on, and we've begun to favor other areas of our life, and it's caused pain, and it's caused hurt, and it's caused wear in our life, because instead of operating the way God has designed us to operate, with true, deep, and meaningful connection with both Him and others, with the knowledge of God and the action of God, we begin to favor other parts, and then it begins to strain other areas. You ever like hurt a leg and you begin to like walk, you limp, and then your other leg starts hurting because you're putting too much weight on another part? It's the same thing. Some of us spiritually have put too much weight in another area. And then that area begins to hurt and get sore. And they're like, man, what is life? And where is God? And who am I? And like, is this even real? And what is, you know, like, we have this weird existential crisis. And it's not because of anything bigger than a shallow connection in our spirituality and Christianity. Okay, let me give you the next thing. Your design was patterned after the unified Trinity. Whenever you're like, God, who have you called me to be? Look at the Trinity. No, but I want to know like my calling. Do you want to know your calling, or do you want to know like the conquest that God has called you to? Because God has called you to have the authority of the Father, to love like the Son, and have the power of the Spirit. Cool, you don't even have to pray the prayer anymore. No, but I want to know what He's called me to do. He's called you to have the authority of the Father, to love like the Son, and have the power of the Holy Spirit. No, but am I going to get to do something cool, like preach to millions of people? So do you want to know the conquest that you'll have, or the calling that you'll have? Because often we want to know the conquest, because if I know the conquest and it seems big enough and cool enough, then I won't go back to my old life. I'll keep doing this. You know what I mean? But it's got to be cool though. Because if it's not cool, like, you know what I mean? Like, and we have these weird things that we throw out before the Lord. I think we're praying prayers that God has already answered. I think we just can't see it because of the shallow journey that we have and the shallow relationship we have with the Lord. We've got to have a life of deeper connection with God. Your design was as His partner, connected to Him and ruling on His behalf. Your design is connected to the Lord as a partner. Adam and Eve partnered with God in creation. He gave them responsibility in completing the creation process. He gave them tasks to do on His behalf. Therefore, we know that He's doing the exact same thing for us. Our design was to partner and be connected with Him ruling on His behalf. Look down with me. Let's jump down. In verse 25 of chapter 2, it says this. We're about to close. The band can come. It says this in verse 25. It says, both the man and his wife were naked, yet they felt no shame. This is important. I love this verse. You maybe have heard me talk about it before. I love the verse, but it's important in regards to establishing this deep and meaningful connection with God. This is important because it says the man and his wife were naked and yet felt no shame. This is a representation not only of their physical reality, but it was a representation of the depth of connection that they had with each other. Not only did God create us to have the deep connection with Him, but that's why the Bible says that He tells Adam that it's not good for a man to be alone. Same word there is that word of being human. It's not good for a human, both male or female, to be alone. That's not like, oh, like that's the, we use that verse as like the reason why we should marry that individual. We're like, would be better for me to not be alone. Like, no, that's not it. It's not good for you to not have deep, meaningful connections with people you can actually see in this life. People you can call when your world hits the fan. People who will be there for you in a moment. And when there is that deep, meaningful connection, there is no shame between you. It's that picture both naturally and spiritually that every area of your life can be exposed and there is no shame. Every part of you can be seen and there's comfort, there's protection, was care, right? So we know not only was that the design for God with us as he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, but that was also God's design for Adam and Eve. It was God's design for humanity, was that you and I would have people in our lives who we have deep connections with. It goes on down in into chapter 3. Verse 6, it says, so she took some of its fruit and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then both of their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves. In verse 8, it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid from him among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to man, and he said to him, where are you? He said, I've heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. The ultimate consequence of sin in your life and mine is disconnection from God. The ultimate consequence. There is nothing more painful in your life than being separated from the Lord. What happens with Adam and Eve is you see in verse 10 or verse 11, God asks Adam, he says, well, who told you you were naked? He said, did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? And the man replied, well, the woman you gave to be with me. Look, hey, be real clear, man. I had things going good. I was out here naming squirrels. And I went, time of my life is where it began, right? I know I've said before, but I think the original sin of man or the greatest struggle for men is not lust, but it's passivity. The Lord said, hey, who told you you're naked? He's like, well, look, hey, I'm gonna be honest with you here. This woman, God, you took your hands off the wheel when you were making her, Lord. She, you know, she's got a rebellious spirit in her. And she led me astray, God. And I was like, but that's what sin does, is it creates that disconnection. It turns the people in your life that you've been called to partner with into problems. It's called the people who, like, they were there to help you because it's good for you to not be alone. But when that connection, when sin begins to separate and is allowed into my life, then those people become the issue. I begin to turn the blessing that God has given to me and the problem into the problem that I'm facing. And when this sin begins to create this disconnection inside of us, it produces a couple of things. You see this, number one is it produces embarrassment in our life. We have a hard time coming back because we just feel embarrassed. Feel embarrassed. We know we were wrong, but it's real hard to acknowledge that. Next, the sin begins to manifest and magnify the insecurity in our life. When there was a deep connection, they were naked and felt no shame. But when they disobeyed what God had called them to, when they broke that connection, they begin to get insecure about their own image and immediately cover themselves up. The root of insecurity comes from a lack of understanding your own identity. So if you wrestle with insecurity, begin to pray that you would understand who God the Father is more in your life. Because your design was created in the three-part unified Trinity. So every issue I face, every struggle I'm going through can be answered through the three-part Trinity. So if it's an identity issue, then I go back and I look at what God the Father said when Jesus was baptized at Bethany and came up out of the water. The dove descended, the voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Third is accusation. Some of you today, you've been listening to the accusation of the enemy. Just like he said to Adam and Eve in the garden, he's like, look, the Lord doesn't want you to eat this because he knows if you do, you're gonna be just as powerful as him. They gave in to that and it separated even further. Division, which was obvious and seen. Lastly, was difficulties, that if you find yourself wrestling over and over and over again with that, just everything's difficult. Life is difficult. Relationships are difficult. My job is difficult. Everything is difficult. Instead of looking at all the external things, begin to look inward and see the area. Ask the Lord to reveal the area that there has begun to be a disconnection. Ask the Lord to show you the shallow pools in your life that need to have depth added to them, so that instead of you resting on your own strength, you can begin to rest in the strength of the water. Jesus referred to himself, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him drink of me and never thirst again. He refers to himself as this refreshing water, as this living, flowing river. And so he desires to refresh you, to fill you, to lift your life. Okay, so lastly you see here is this scripture. Jesus asked in verse 9, God asked in verse 9, he said, where are you? That's my big question for you today. We're done and we're going to close. But where are you? Where are you? He wasn't unaware of where they were. He created the place they stood in. But he wanted to see their response. And they're like, well, you know, and they explain the story we read. And I think for you and I today, I think what happened to Adam and Eve set into course not only sin entering the world, but really the greatest issue, which is the fruit that sin produces, which is disconnection. Shallow faith, shallow belief, shallow relationships, the separation from God. So today, for you, as you close, ask yourself that question. Where have you been? Look back over 2020. Where'd you go? What made you run off, spiritually speaking? What caused you to disappear? God's asking that question of us, not because he doesn't know, but because it's the opportunity again to reestablish, to begin to add depth and strength to our relationship with him. For that to happen, we have to begin to invite him in. We build a deep connection with God by understanding the design in which he created us as a reflection of the unified Trinity, the authority of the Father, the love of the Son, the power of the Spirit. We're reminded of it through his establishment of man to be in relationship with him, to walk with him, to fellowship with him. And then the creation of woman for humanity as both reflection of male and female, but then even really relationally in the world around us, to have deep and meaningful human connections here in this life. But for all that to happen, he's done his part. The cross is done. It's finished. He's waiting on us to invite him in. Here's a couple areas to invite him in. We're done. We have to invite him into our conversations. How do you speak about yourself? How do you speak about others? Got to invite him into our habits. What dictates what I do? Culture or the cross? Got to invite him into my desires. Why do I want the things I want? Why do I feel like I'm missing out on the things I feel like I'm missing out on? Got to invite him into my goals. Are my goals centered on myself or are my goals centered on Jesus? Do my goals all lead back to the kingdom or do my goals all lead back to my conquest? I got to invite him into my relationships. Who I am in private should be who I am in public. What you do relationally in public should be what you do relationally in private. I have to invite him into my schedule, to my finances, to my thoughts, to my home. Man, 2021 for some of you families, or young adults, young professionals, single or married, it doesn't matter. Begin to invite the Lord into your home. make your house a house of prayer. Not just this place a house of prayer, but your home a house of prayer. Pray. Believe. Expect God to do great things. Lastly is the most important one. So you have to invite the Lord into your heart. Deep connection begins and comes from the soul of men and women. The Bible says that man judges the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. Sometimes we spend a whole lot of time fixing the external, putting on different clothes, looking a different way, talking a different way, going different places, and we never address the most important thing, which is our heart. The only way to have a sustained depth with God is to have a transformed heart because of his grace. Could you stand with me all across the room today? Man, God loves you so much. I don't know if you know that today, but God loves you so much. Whether here in the room or watching online, God loves you so much. And some of you need to begin to just tell yourself that today. You need to remind yourself of God's love for you. Because when you begin to remind yourself of God's love for you, you begin to be confident in the creation that he has made you to be and in the connection that he desires to have with you. But before we get into any of the other things, before we ask about the relationships or we ask about our schedule or we ask about our thoughts, we ask about all these other things, it begins with God being invited into our hearts, transforming who we are, then renewing the other areas and parts of our life. Today, I believe that for some of you in the room, this is the day for you, like the Bible says, the day of salvation, a day of transformation for you where the decision will be made today that will reshape 2021 from what it could have been to what God is calling it to be. But it's not going to happen through God like some sort of spiritual SWAT team kicking down the door of your life, taking over who you are, and forcing you to become a man or woman who reflects his image. But it comes from a hunger for more connection. It says, Lord, I want to invite you in. Can we pray today? Father, we love you today. God, we thank you, Lord, that the most important gift we have ever or will ever receive is, God, the gift of salvation. So, Father, today we pray that you would stir our heart. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be aware. Lord, I pray that as we felt our soul even being stirred this morning to the areas in our life that are reflections of sin that have caused separation and disconnection. Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would illuminate that you would reveal that to us this morning. God, not for the purpose of shame, but Lord, for the purpose of salvation. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in here today, and you felt the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, you felt that stirring inside of you. And when we got to the end of this message, you begin to realize, and said, I need to invite the Lord into my heart. I haven't. Or maybe you did a long time ago in life and frustration, sin separated, and you've walked a different way. But today, but not only in this moment, but for the rest of this year, you are ready to begin the journey. You're ready to begin the steps of being a new believer, a transformed creation in Christ. The Bible says today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. If that's you in here with every head bowed and eye closed, would you just raise your hand right now? I pray for you this morning. Pray that today for you is the day of transformation. Pray for you that today is the day of renewal in your life. It's great. We see those hands across the room. Father, we pray today right now in your name. Lord, we pray that you would move in our hearts. Father, you said that if we were faithful and just, Lord, to confess our sin, Lord, that you would be faithful and just to forgive us of it. So, Lord, we confess today to you, Lord, the areas that we have gotten wrong. Would you just right there in your seat, whether you raise your hand or not, would you just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I know that these areas of my life, Lord, I've walked away. God, I've turned a blind eye. Lord, I've let distance step in the gap. Father, I want to return to you today. Lord, I want to be saved today. Lord, I want you to renew my life. I want to begin this journey of growing and walking deeper and deeper with you. Father, today we give you praise. Lord, I pray that for every person in this room, every person who is already walking with you, God, I pray that you would add depth to their walk. Lord, I pray that you would add substance to their walk. Father, if they know you as an authority, but Lord, they don't know you as the sacrificial son, Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself. God, I pray that if they don't know you as Father because of the relationships they've experienced in this life, Lord, I pray that you would remind them, Lord, of your perfect and everlasting love for them as the perfect Father who is in heaven. And Lord, whether it's all those things and there's a lot of knowledge, but there's no power, Lord, I pray that they would encounter and experience your Holy Spirit. Father, today we love you. God, we give you praise for this year. God, we give you praise for where we're going. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, this would be a year for us of deep and meaningful connection, of substance, of true heart and integrity that flows from every action and decision of our life. Lord, today we love you. God, we give you praise today and honor, Father, for all that you're doing. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.